I'm telling you, how blessed we are, amen? The goodness of God, the goodness of God, and that God in His goodness would bless someone with a voice like that, amen? And man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Miss Erica. I'm thankful for her witness, her testimony. Many of you know Miss Erica. We had her here before, and she brought her choir from the Vicksburg High School here to sing at Christmas for us. And man, I'm just thankful that we have a young person in our school system that has a Christian, godly influence on our boys and girls. Amen? And so we're thankful for that. Amen? I'm grateful. Amen. Amen. This morning, God's put this word in my heart. We're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're winding this series down. We're coming to the end of this sermon, if you will. And I know Jesus was Baptist because it's a long ending to the sermon. You know preachers like that, they got good starts, but they don't know where to stop. Jesus, man, he gives us this ending, and it's actually about four invitations here, if you will, at the end of this sermon for us to consider. This morning, I've entitled this passage, My Way or the Highway. You know, that sounds narrow-minded. But when you're God, you can be narrow-minded. Amen? And so think about this road map that we have here on the screen this morning. There are roads everywhere. We have, when you look at the map of the United States, there are roads, there are streets, there's highways, byways, all over the place. And sometimes you can get lost going in those areas, right? I mean, there's so many roads, it's like, which one do I pick? Which one do I choose? Which direction do I go? In our technological world today, there are superhighways in our information, superhighways. Man, you can get on the internet, you can search the web. You can go all over the place on that thing, right? Get places that you never knew existed before, right? And so it's important for us this morning that we get on the right road, that we travel in the right direction. We were just sharing this morning, Rhonda was telling a story one time. We were off somewhere. We were going to a location to do something there, but on the way there, we were going to go somewhere else. And I knew where that somewhere else was. I didn't know where our final destination was, but I knew where we wanted to stop off at. And so I just let the GPS run, and it kept saying, recalculate. You turn here, turn left here. I just ignored it, kept going. Finally, it said, I have no further suggestions for you. I'm telling you this morning, listen to me now. God's telling you. I want you to hear God say this morning. I have no further suggestions for you. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. He has no other suggestions. Okay? And so let's look in God's Word this morning here in Matthew chapter 7 in the 13th verse. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I believe that the context of these words is very important this morning for you and I to consider. They were spoken after He has given us the main body of this great sermon. And here in this passage, these are the concluding remarks. And it calls us to a bold action. And so this morning, I want to just share these three kind of imperatives with you this morning, if you will. I preached on this text years ago, a different message. And I talked about the fact that hell is an actual place. Hell is an awful place, and hell is an avoidable place. Listen, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I hear people say all the time, well, I don't want to love a God who would send people to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You choose. You make that decision yourself this morning. Which way are you going to go? You going to go the broad way that leads to destruction, or are you going to go the narrow way that leads to life? And so this morning, I want you to focus this morning on the narrow way. The narrow way that God gives us. Notice, first of all, the command that He gives us to enter. It's a command to enter. Notice what He says here in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Now, I was talking to Jeannie the other day in the office, and we were talking about different languages and learning languages and all those kind of things. And I have kind of mastered the butchery of the English language. Okay? So I'm not going to try to master anything else, right? But I understand from Vine's Greek dictionary, this word, enter. It's written in a form that is a command. It's written in the Greek imperative. It's called to an action or a state that's represented here as the original commander's intention. It is God's command and it's God's intention for you to enter into the narrow gate. It's a command that He gives us. It's what God wants for your life. It's God's will for your life that you enter into the narrow way. Every biblical call in the gospel of Christ is a command. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 2, John the Baptist, he commands, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's not a suggestion, it's not a good idea, but he writes that in the same Greek imperative, which means to do this. It's a command, it's not an option. If you want to do that, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 17 gives us this same command. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He commands us to believe. We're to repent and we're to believe. It says in Mark chapter 1 in verse 14. I was just reading this the other day. He says, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Again, it's written in that Greek imperative, which means that you don't have any other options. This is God's command. This is God's intention for your life. Everybody wants to know what God's will for their life is. Primarily, God's will for your life is that you would repent, that you would believe in Him, that you'd surrender and follow Him, that you would enter into the narrow way. These are all imperative commands here. So this evening or this morning, at the end of our service, we always give an invitation. We give an invitation, give you an opportunity to respond to God's Word. We give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe we've been doing this wrong, Brother Chris. Maybe it's not an invitation to come. Maybe it should be a command to come. Maybe it should be an order to come. Maybe it should be an imperative to come this morning. That you would come to a point and place to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. I was reading just this morning in a devotional that I have. It's Ian Bounds' book on prayer. And he's talking about how Spurgeon prayed. And Spurgeon would pray and pray and pray. And someone asked him, said, why are you praying all the time? There's other things to do. He said, you don't understand. He said, I have 3,000 souls that I'm responsible for. And I don't know the destiny of each one. Listen, there's a lot of folks today that are worried about a lot of things. The only thing I'm concerned about this morning is your eternal salvation, your eternal destiny. Are you on the narrow way? Are you following Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what's of utmost importance this morning. So He gives us this command. It's also written in the aorist imperative. It conveys a sense of urgency. It is an urgent command. It's not just a simple command. It is an urgent command. It's something that God is calling us to do immediately. I know folks that say, well, when I get through sowing my wild oats, then I'm going to, and I grow up, I'm going to follow Jesus. When I become an adult, when I get through with college, when I get out of high school, when I get married, when I have kids, then I'll follow Jesus. No, the command is not just a simple command. It is an urgent command to do so now, to do so in the immediate, if you will. Some of us maybe have a difficulty understanding what this aorist imperative means, the urgency of it. But wives, you understand, right? You ask your husband to do something and you expect them to do it now. You see, I don't understand that. Rhonda asked me to do things around the house. 3 weeks later, she goes in there and starts doing it. And I say, I was going to do that. I don't know why you're all mad now. I was going to get to that, right? Come on, guys. Don't leave me hanging up here by myself, okay? Right? We've all been there. We do the same thing with God, right? God, I was going to get around to that. God, I was going to do that. God, I was going to be obedient. One day, it's too late. Listen to what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. It's not something we should be trivial with, okay? For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, okay? And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. In an acceptable time. When I get around to it, is that what he means? No. Then he defines what the acceptable time is. Because he goes on to say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not later tonight. Not next week. Not next Sunday. Now is the time. It's the urgency of the command to respond now in the immediate. And since we're going to leave this world someday soon, and when we do, we'll continue to live either in heaven or hell. And so it is essential that you know where you're going to end up. Some people have this idea that we can die and then decide. I don't know how often you've flown lately, but I fly a good bit, several times a year, and I've learned something about flying. When you get on a plane, that's not the time to decide where you're going, right? When you get on the plane, your destination has already been determined. Heard about a lady. She might have had blonde hair. Got on the plane one day, sitting in the first class section of the plane. Wasn't her seat. Several people told her, this isn't your seat. She refused to get up. Somebody went and told the pilot, this lady sitting back here, not sitting where she's supposed to. He walked back, whispered something in her ear. She got up, went to the back of the plane. They said, what'd you tell her? He said, I asked her where she was going. She said, she's going to Cincinnati. I told her the first class people weren't going to Cincinnati. He said, those in the back of the plane were going to Cincinnati. She got up and moved. Listen, when you get on the plane, there's only one destination. I'm telling you this morning, now is the time to decide where you're going, either heaven or hell. Now, not only is this a command, but I also want you to notice that there is a criteria for entering the narrow way. Notice what he says here in this passage. He says, difficult is the way which leads to life. Difficult is the way that leads to life. He describes it as being a narrow way. He describes it as being a difficult way. This word narrow, it pictures that there are obstacles standing close to each other and that you can only fit through that narrow passageway. Here a while back, Rhonda and I were out west, and we were doing some hiking, and we got into what they call these slot canyons. And there were some that were really close. You just kind of have to kind of scoot through those areas, you know? That they're so narrow that you could only pass through there one at a time. And there's cliffs on either side of you, and there's no way out of that. That's the image that God gives us. God says there's this narrow way. There's only this one way that you can go through. That there's things standing on either side and you can't, you can't detour out of that. You have to stay on that one path. It's limited. in the extent of how God offers that. This word difficult, it means to be straight. And that straight is not as a straight line. It's straight in the sense of being S-T-R-A-I-T. A straight, a narrow passageway. A passageway that you have to be very careful in coming into. There's a port out in California. And the seamen, when they would come into this bay, into this port, there was underground rocks and hazards and things. And so they lined up three poles in that bay. Each pole had a light on it. And the idea was that the captain of the ship would line his ship up with those poles so that he could only see one light. And he knew as long as he could only see one light, he was in that narrow channel that he could pass through to come into port safely. See, some of you are chasing all these different lights. You better get lined up. There's only one light, and that light is Jesus Christ. So he gives us this criteria, this narrow, this difficult way. Listen, really, this whole sermon has been a contrast. Jesus is saying that in order to get to heaven, your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of those days. They were the ones who adamantly followed the laws, not only of God, but all of these other man-made laws as well. And they were putting weight on the traditional laws of man equal with the laws of God. And Jesus comes along and he radically changes. And Jesus said, it's not about a law. It's about following in a relationship with me. He says this true religion is not being like the Pharisees. He says this true religion is to be in right relationship with me. And it was unlike anything they'd ever seen or heard any other time. Often today when people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, it sounds kind of radical. It sounds different than anything they've ever heard before. And it is radical. And it is different. But God gave us His Word. God gave us His guidelines. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that you and I could be saved. Some people have this idea, well, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Well, the problem with that is, I'm not a cat. And I don't want to be skinned. I'm a person and I want to go to heaven, right? Adrian Rogers said years ago, he preached a sermon about going to heaven the narrow way. And he went to the post office on Monday morning, and one of his church members met him there, a little lady, and she said, I don't really agree with everything you preached yesterday. He said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, you preached that Jesus was the only way. She said, I feel like that there's many ways to heaven. She said, just like this morning, you got in your car, I got in my car. You traveled on certain roads, I traveled on certain roads, but we both ended up at the post office. He said, well, that's a good theory. He said, the only problem with that is when I die, I don't want to end up at the post office. Can I get a witness, right? You'll get lost in the post office, right? They'll lose your mail. I got a piece of mail this morning. It was a birthday card. And I thought, man, I'm going to call this guy and tell him he's a month late. And then I looked at the postmark, and the postmark was a month ago. And I just now am getting the letter. Listen, I don't trust my soul to the post office, right? One way to Jesus Christ. Hey, here's a good verse. John chapter 10, verse 9. Look what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is the door. He's the way in. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And he says this in verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He's not a door, he is the door. The one and only door. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus says, I'm the door. And then later, when Jesus is about to be crucified, he points out the fact that Judas is about to betray him. Judas goes to the religious leaders, and Judas says, what will you give me? They give him 30 coins. And then he goes out into the garden and he finds Jesus there praying. And Judas says, this will be the sign. The one whom I kiss is Christ. Judas went and kissed the cheek of Jesus. Judas kissed
the door of heaven and went to hell. How many of us come so close and yet we miss the door? It's a narrow, difficult criteria that he gives us. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 again says, "Now there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which men might be saved." John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Not a way, not a truth, not a life, but the one, singular, singular. You say, "Preacher, we get that. Why are you hammering us so much on that this morning?" Listen, here's what's troubling to me. According to a recent Pew Research, the Pew Research Foundation, they did a survey, and they found this. 57% of evangelical church members, evangelical church attenders, say they believe that many other religions can lead to eternal life. That means almost 6 out of 10 of you here this morning would say, "I don't agree with you, preacher. I think other denominations, other religions, other sects can get to heaven." The Bible is very narrow in its focus. And it says that only through Jesus Christ can we be saved. You see, it's this idea of pluralism. That everybody goes to heaven, right? All dogs go to heaven, but not all people go to heaven. What if someone sincerely worships a Hindu god? Well, they sincerely, in their sincerity, the Bible doesn't say anything. It's not about how sincere we are. Well, what if somebody strictly follows the 5 pillars of Islam? Guess what? Obedience. You can't be too obedient or obedient enough to get saved. Well, what if somebody conquers the desires as Buddhism teaches? Guess what? Self-control is not a requirement for salvation. Jesus Christ is the only name by which we might be saved. Hey, I want you to look at this quote this morning. It is impossible. It is impossible to take the wrong road and go to heaven. And it is impossible to take the heavenly road and go to hell. Look at that this morning. It is impossible to take the wrong road and go to heaven. But it is impossible to take the heavenly road and go to hell. It's important for you and I this morning that we are on the right road today. And then I want you to consider this morning the choice to enter. He says, "Therefore, few find it." That is, the number who find life might be few. It's not necessarily that it's few in number, because God desires for people to be saved. Doesn't mean that God just says, "Well, only a few are going to be saved," or "I'm only going to let a few find out." No, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says God would that none would perish, but that all would repent and come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. That is, God wants all of us. That few is the fact that there's so few that will choose to follow Christ. There's only a few that will choose to follow that imperative command. There's only a few who are willing to give up their self and to follow Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says this. He says, "Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth?" God desires every person in this room to be saved. If you're not saved, it's not because God doesn't want you to be saved. If you're not saved, it's not because God didn't choose for you to be saved. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not on the narrow way, it's because of your choice. God gives you a choice. God gives you a free will this morning. You see, the real question is not, are there few who are saved, but will you be among the few who are saved? Will you be among the few that are saved? Notice there's two gates, a wide and a narrow. There's two ways, a broad and a narrow. There are two destinies, life and destruction. There are two crowds. There are the many and the few. There's two destinations, but there's only one choice you can make. You only get to choose once. And you choose that once in this lifetime. And after that, there's no more choices. People say, well, I don't want to make that decision. That's hard to make a decision, right? Listen, we make decisions every day. You decide every day whether you're going to get up or not. You make a decision if you're going to go to work every day. You make a decision, what will I eat every day? You'll make a decision what you're going to eat, where you're going to eat. You'll make decisions today about what you'll wear, what you put on. You made a decision this morning whether you would come to church or not. We make decisions every day. Man, when we make wrong decisions, it's not good, is it? But when we choose rightly, man, God blesses. We just pick roads all the way through life. And for some of you so far, it's been a good life. For some of you so far, it's been tough. You've been on some back roads, haven't you? You've been on some roads where there's potholes. You've been on some roads where you got there and it said road closed. You got on some roads where it said detour. And you found your way having to go way around and it took you longer to get there than you originally thought you would. Some of you have been on some roads that were smooth and easy. And you thought, man, this is good right here. Only to find out you were going in the wrong direction. Rhonda and I ride bicycles. We love to tour around different places riding bikes. We were in a place one day, we were riding bikes, had a little map. There was trails all out through this area. We were on this little map. I looked at the map, see where we could go. Man, we took off down this big, long hill. Man, we were just coasting along. Woo! Man, I love hills, right? Man, this is fun. We got down the bottom of the hill. There was an intersection. Got the map out to see which way we went. I'd gone the wrong way, Chris. We had to turn around and pedal way back up that same hill we had just coasted down. Any of y'all ever been there before? Come on now. Man, we just coasting through life. Think we got it made. All of a sudden, find out that wasn't the way we were supposed to go. And we have to backtrack through some of those things. See, we make choices, good and bad, all through life. Ultimately and inevitably, there is a final choice. A choice that not only determines time, but a choice that determines eternity. This morning it's make up your time, mind. This morning God's brought you to this place and this time to decide once and for all if you're going to follow Christ in the narrow way. All through the Old Testament, God confronted the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Therefore choose life that thou seed may live. Joshua 24:15, my life verse. I named my son Joshua as a living reminder to me. Choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve those gods that are over there on the other side of the river? Are you going to serve those gods who your fathers have been following? Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God confronted me at a point in time in my life where I had to kind of draw a line in the sand and I had to make a choice. God, from this day forward, there's no going back. God, today I'm taking that step of obedience. God, I'm removing myself off of the throne. God, you sit there for now and ever. God, from this day forward, I want to follow you. See, we all come to that day. It's a moment in time where you choose to follow Christ. And God's brought you to that day today. In John chapter 6 is an interesting passage. Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry. And he's talking to the disciples, and the apostles are all there. It's a bunch of people. And he describes to them how they must eat of his body and drink of his blood. And it's kind of hard to understand sometimes in that. But what he's really talking about is obedience, giving your life to him. And the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 66, it says this: upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But that they heard that they were going to have to die to self to live for him. That they learned that what it meant to live a sacrificial life for Christ. And the Bible says many of his disciples went back, didn't follow him anymore. But then right after that, he turns around, there's Peter and there's some of those apostles standing there. And he says, what about you guys? What are you going to do? You going to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? Lord, who else are we going to turn to? Lord, you alone have the words of life. God, you're the only place that we can come to find life. And so the question, the command, the imperative this morning, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to walk out of here this morning and not follow Christ? Or this morning will you decide, Lord, you're the only one who has life for me, and I'm going to trust you. I called a preacher friend of mine one Monday, and we were talking. I said, man, how was your church yesterday? He said, man, church was great yesterday. He said, we had about 120 decisions yesterday morning. I said, wow, man, that sounds like a great morning. He said, yeah. He said, we had about 120 people there, and they all decided to do absolutely nothing. I wonder this morning, how many will decide to walk away, and how many will decide to follow? Would you follow Christ this morning? Would you bow with me this morning? Father God, this morning we love you. God, we're grateful for the morning. God, we're thankful for the time of worship that we've had this morning. God, we've been so encouraged. God, we thank you for the baptism this morning. God, thank you for the testimony of David this morning. And God, this morning, the preaching of your word. God, we've been confronted, God, with this command, this imperative. God, we understand that there's only one way. God, that the criteria is very narrow. God, now it's a time for us to make a choice. God, to either follow your command or to reject you. God, I pray this morning. I pray, God, this morning that you would find us faithful to follow you. God, for individuals this morning who have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be that day. God, as you spoke it into their heart, pray, God, now that they would hear with obedience. Father, today, that you be magnified and glorified. Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Mike's going to come and lead us in a song this morning. This is your opportunity to respond to Christ today. Would you simply come today? As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. Come now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. The urgency of the hour to come.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen, amen. Hey, let me ask you just to be seated this morning for just a moment. We're so delighted. And thank you again for our guests that have been here today, for those that have been watching online, listening on V105.5. Thank you for tuning in to us today. And if God's impressed upon your heart a decision to make, and I want you to message us, call our office, please reach out to us. We'd love to be able to answer questions for you and to pray for you. Hey, tonight, 5 o'clock, small groups right here. Come, let's just continue to fellowship together, continue to just to hang out and talk about Jesus some more, talk about life, right? And of how we meet those challenges. Thankful this morning for Miss Erica to come and to lead us and sing for us and worship today. Thank you, Erica. Appreciate you always. Appreciate you always. Hey, I want Aaron and Allie to come right up here this morning. Come right up here for us, buddy. I'm telling you, this is a sweet, sweet couple, man. You are going to really fall in love with. This is Aaron and Allie House. They've come this morning wishing to unite, be a part of our family here at Trinity Baptist Church. And the church and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give them a Trinity welcome this morning. Amen. We've been able to communicate a little bit online and through Facebook and that sort of thing, talk some, and then got to talk last Sunday after church and visit a little bit there. And man, I'm just telling you, what a sweet spirit. You know, the Bible talks about that our spirit just kind of bears witness. And man, as soon as I met this couple and just got to talk with them, I knew that God had something special for them. And so I'm delighted that they're coming this morning. I want you to know, as your pastor, what a joy and what a privilege it is to be your pastor, to be a part of what God's doing in your life. I want you to feel free to reach out to me at any time. I want you to know we're praying for you always. Amen? Amen? Listen, they got three. Hey, you think they're cool? Y'all to meet their three kids. They got two little girls, a little boy. They're the best, man. So they'll be out here in a little bit. But hey, let's stand this morning. I want you to come by and welcome them. Let them know that you're glad to have them here. Hey, Aaron, would you come up here? Come up here too. Join me up here. I'm going to be right up here with these folks. So, hey, if you're a guest this morning, I didn't get a chance to meet you, I would love to meet you. Hey, I'm going to be standing right over here in just a moment. So you come by. I want to meet you and get name and face together. And so you come by and let these folks know that you're delighted to have them this morning. Let Erica know how much you appreciate her being here this morning. Hey, Mike, we're going to sing something this morning? Well, also, hey, he is an awesome God. Amen? Amen. Let's do that. Let's sing that.
Our God is awesome.